All right, everyone, welcome. Thursday night class. And a good Chodesh. Chodesh Tov to everyone. Tonight is still the month of Nisan, but we're already in Chodesh Iyar, so we have the benefits of Nisan, which is the month of redemption, and Iyar, which is the month of healing. So we should have a miraculous redemption for all of the world. The miracle in the healing, Bezrat Hashem. The class we're going to learn tonight is not connected in any open way to the Parsha, although it is. Because the parsha is all about tzaras, which needs healing. And the month of Iyar is all about healing. And in this mimer, we're going to learn about Rofei Cholim. Hashem heals those that are ill. He heals the sick. Although most of the discourse is not necessarily focused only on healing, but it is part of the discourse. So I guess by divine providence, I've been led to this discourse. How was I led to this discourse? This past Shabbat, I was intrigued by a certain number that related to something that a project that I've been working on for a long time. And things with God's help, we managed. Hashem brought it together for us. We bought a new building and it was quite some work to be able to get it to the closing. And by the way, the signs are off. Did you check? On my signs. The time that I received, you know, I'm very excited. You know, when you live in a little bit of in the reality of Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, and you live a little deeper, you notice numbers a lot and the significance of numbers and what they mean, what they're talking to you. So when I received the notification from the escrow that we were in, that escrow has closed, it was 202. So I got very excited about the 202. I said, I gotta really understand what the 202 is. And I right away connected to the word Rav, Reish Beis is 202. And so I thought about the davening in which we say Rav Lahoshia on the second blessing of the Shemona Esrei. So I took out a special book called, the same book that we learned the Shabbos discourses, which we just finished learning about the seven class course that we had on the Meals of Shabbos Unplugged. I took out the same book, Siddur Im Dach, which is the Siddur with a Hasidic explanation to it. And I said, let me take a look if there's anything on those words. I opened up there. I didn't find particularly on those words, but another discourse on the words surrounding it caught my attention. And it looked really intriguing. So today, just a little while ago, I didn't learn this well. So I'm really learning it together with you now. It's not really something that I've thoroughly studied and learned. We'll learn it together and let's see where this goes. Seems to be a pretty smooth discourse, but very, very special and very warm and very meaningful. So let's see. In our second blessing of the Amidah, which is always part of the prayer, this blessing, because we know the Amidah changes. The main liturgy of the prayer changes. You have the weekday prayers, and then you have the special holiday prayers, like and Shabbos and Saturdays we have special. So we substitute many of the blessings that are done in the weekdays we don't say on Shabbat or on the holidays. We put in other blessings relating to the holidays. But the first three and the last three never change. Not on the week, obviously in the weekday, not on Rosh Chodesh, not on Shabbos, not on the three pilgrimage holidays, not on Hanukkah, not on Purim, not even Yom Kippur, or Rosh Hashanah. The first three are always there, although we do make inserts in the first three also, but the actual blessing itself is always said. This is the second blessing of Shemona Esrei, which deals with rain, and it deals with resurrection. Okay? So let's read the blessing. The blessing is Ato Gibor LaOlam Hashem. You are mighty God. Mechaya Mesim, you resurrect the dead. Mechaya Mesim Ato, you resurrect the dead. Rav Loishia, you are great to bring salvation. Okay? You are the great one to bring a salvation. And then, depending if it's summer or winter, we make a certain insert. In the summer, like currently now, from after Passover, after Pesach, we say Moed Atal, you caused the dew to come down. In the winter, we say Mashav Ruach, you make the winds blow, Umoyre dageshem, you bring the rain, you make the rains fall. Then we continue. Mechalkel chayim, you sustain life. Bechesed, with kindness. Mechaya mesim, resurrect the dead. Berachmim rabim, with abundant compassion or with great mercy. Tomech noflim, you support those who fall. Verofe cholim. Actually, it's interesting. I think the actual right translation over here is it goes from first person suddenly to third person. I never noticed that, never paid attention to that. When you begin, you say, Ato Gibor, you are strong, La'olam Hashem. Then we start talking, we don't say, Ato Mechaya Meisim. We speak about him. How do we see that? From the words Mechal Kechayim, for sure, we're speaking about him. We're not speaking directly to him. How do we know that? Because we say, I'm going to show you, Umekayim Emunasai, and he keeps his faithfulness. We don't say Umekayim Emunascha, you keep your faithfulness. So therefore, I want to switch. I feel like I was translating it incorrectly. I was translating as if we're talking to God directly in first person, but we're not. At this point, in the beginning we do, because we say Atah Gibor, you are strong. I really want to look into that. That's a very something I've never noticed, how in one blessing we suddenly switch from speaking direct to God first person, and then we switch to speaking as if we are praising him to others about him. And I think it starts from over here. Mechal Kel Chayim B'chesed. He supports life with kindness. Mechaya Mesim, he resurrects the dead. B'rachamim Rabim, with great mercy, with great compassion. Somech Noflim, he supports those who fall. V'rofe Cholim, and he heals the sick. U'matir Asurim, and he frees or he releases prisoners. U'mekayim Emunasai, and he keeps his promise, his faithfulness, the Yishene, offer to those that sleep in the ground, which means those who passed away. What does he mean he keeps his faithfulness? He made a promise he will resurrect, and he will resurrect. And then we say, Micha Mocha, who is like you? We go back to first person. So that's interesting. See, I've been praying for over 50 years, and I never really paid that much attention to the switch. Looks like I've never really prayed my whole life. Isn't that embarrassing? Right over here, public. Because if I was really, I'm giving a class, I'm actually translating every word very carefully. I'm saying this, and I'm realizing that it's suddenly so inconsistent over here. Okay, I got to do tshuva here. What does it say? Micha mocha, who is like you? Again, back and forth, first person. Baal Gavuros, the mighty one. Baal Gavuros means actually the master of might. The master of might. Umi doy melach, and who can compare to you? Melach, a king. Memis, who puts to death. Umachaya, and enlivens. Umatzmiach Yeshua, and make sprout forth salvation. V'neman ata, and you are faithful, and you can be trusted, and we can rely on you. V'hachyo yismesim, to enliven the dead. Again, coming back to the resurrection of the dead. So the resurrection of the dead is mentioned in this verse, in this blessing, at least I'm finding it four times. And then we conclude again, Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you God, Mechaye HaMesim, the one who resurrects the dead. So that's five times. Five times resurrection in this one blessing. Let's repeat the five. You are mighty God, Mechaye HaMesim Ata, you enliven the dead. Then we say in the second paragraph, Mechaye HaMesim Berachmim Rabim, you enliven the dead. You resurrect the dead with great mercy. And then we say, Umekayim Emunasa, you keep your promise, the Yeshene, offer it to those that are asleep in the ground, which is again resurrection. What does he mean? He keeps his promise to those who are in the ground. He's promised to resurrect them. That means death is not the end of the story. There is life after death, not only to the soul, but even to the body. And then we say it again, Melech Memes Umekayah, the king who causes to die, umachaya, and he resurrects. Then it's the fourth one. Here goes the fifth one. Venemonata, and you are trusted, lahachios mesim, to enliven the dead. That's five. And I was wrong before. I'm wrong so many times today. This is great. I love it already. Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, mechaye ha-mesim, you who resurrects the dead. Six times that the resurrection of the dead is mentioned in one short blessing. We say this minimum three times a day. And then there are days that we pray some more, like on Rosh Chodesh, we say it four times, and Shabbos. In Kippur, we say it five times. Okay, so let's see what's going on over here. Let's get a deeper understanding in this whole significance of this resurrection. And so as we're going to see soon, the resurrection of the dead is not only applying to dead people coming alive, although, of course, it means that as well. But it also means the resurrection of everything that has died, all the energies and everything that is dead in the world. The rectification of all of existence. All the sparks of holiness, every lost soul that gets rejuvenated, restirred, everything is fixed. All the brokenness in the world gets... all the divine potential that seems to have gotten lost or gotten trapped in the dark side comes back out of imprisonment and gets enlivened. So it's a fascinating blessing. It means much more than we think it means. So let's take a look. So this discourse was said by the Alter Rebbe in the year 1804. When? Parshas Vayakel. So, before Pesach, and there is a book called Derech HaChaim from the Mittler Rebbe, or Derech HaChaim, and I was just reading it before. Over here, the discourse is short. Over there, he's got chapters and chapters and chapters where he's elaborating on this discourse. And it was a fascinating read, but again, I only got to read a little bit. So now let's read. So he opens up with the end of the blessing. Who is like you, Baal Gavurot, the master of might, and who can compare to you? Melech Memes, a king who puts to death, Umachayah, brings to life. So in order to understand this, he says, let's go back earlier in the verse, in the blessing. We say, Somech Noflim, that Hashem supports those who fall. Verofe Cholim, and that He heals those that are sick. Umatir Asudim, and He redeems those that are in prison. Gimel Eila Madregis, Benefila, Achara Nefila. These are three levels of falling. Who Kenege, that this corresponds. So meaning these are not three separate categories. These are three consecutive falls in which holiness has collapsed. Holiness has fallen. Or the Jewish people that have gone into exile, or a soul that is a divine being gets stuck. Three levels of being stuck. Three levels of a neshama, of a soul falling. Both an individual soul and... because our souls come from enormous, enormous high spiritual heights. And then as a result of being living in a physical body, it takes a toll on the soul. And this verse and this blessing is addressing any stage of that fall, of that descent. And in addition to that, it's referring to the overall collective soul of all souls, which is the Shekhinah, who during the time of exile also falls down to the ground. And these are three stages in that fall. So where he's going to take this is saying like this. The first stage is called falling. The second stage is called illness. The third stage is called imprisonment. Imprisonment being the lowest. The lowest type of state a soul can be in is it can be imprisoned in the hands of the dark side, of the klipot, of the shell realities, of that which is unholy. A higher stage where a soul can be in is it didn't reach the stage that it's imprisoned, but it is in a state of illness. And then even a higher state where a soul is not ill, it's not a chole, it's not sick, but the soul has still fallen. Three stages. And these are also three stages of the Shekhinah. There is the higher levels of the Shekhinah that have during the time of exile descends down low, but only in a state that is considered falling in comparison to where she once was. Second stage of the Shekhinah coming down is that she's fallen even into a state which is considered ill. And finally, a state where the Shekhinah is in captivity. And this is where it describes why this how Hashem orchestrates and directs the world events to take both the collective consciousness and the collective soul of all of existence out of its fall, the Shekhinah out of her fall, and also each individual neshama, each individual soul from its entrapment. That's what we're going to be talking about. So Gimalay Madregas Benefilach and Afil, these are three levels of falling after falling. Who connected Gimel Madregas, these correspond to the three levels, the Anika Sachitzonim of the deriving of the external forces that are stealing energy from holiness, the Gimel Oilamois Bia, in the three worlds. As we discussed many times, all of creation is divided into three dimensions. The higher one is called the world of Berea, but it's over there, it's already a state, even in the world of Berea, which is a very, very lofty world, even over there, there's already klipot, there's already impure forces. They're very minuscule and they're very weak over there. But they still have already a beginning. They have a source of the leakage of holy energy leaking into the klipa begins already in that world. But obviously they're much weaker there. But in the lower, as the creation becomes more thicker and the density of the creation, as the creation evolves, the powers of evil become stronger and stronger. And the lowest and most powerful forces of darkness are in our physical realm, in the world of Asiya. So these are the correspondent levels. Begimel Madregas, the Anikas HaChitzonim, from where the Chitzonim, the external outside forces, have a life. Begimel Oilam Ospiyan, the three worlds, Abriya Tzirasir, Uba Oilam Abriya. So in the world of Briya, Nikra Nefila Levad, it's called a fall. What does that mean? When the Shekhinah leaks and gives energy to the Klipa that's in the world of Briya, then that's cool that the Shekhinah has fallen because she's supporting some dark elements. Kamosha Kosov, like it says, where do we find something like this, that there is a spiritual fall? Hanefilim Hayo Ba'aretz, all the way in the beginning of the book, in the book of Genesis, in the first Torah portion, it speaks about these Nephilim that have fallen. So who are the Nephilim? These are very high spiritual lights and or angels who have been fallen and become corrupted. And they are corrupted angels. So you see that even in the supernal worlds, in a very high spiritual place, there are corrupted beings. So the energies that are in these, the energy, all energy comes from the Shekhinah, because all energy comes from God. And the Shekhinah is the divine input in creation. So if these angels fall, they fall together with a spark inside of them. The spark has also fallen. That means that the Shekhinah falls as a result of these fallen angels. Ubi Yetzira, And when we go down to the next world, which is the world of formation, which means closer already to the material realm, still spiritual, but closer to our world, over there, the dark forces are stronger. And when the leakage happens, they can call in, that causes a illness in the Shekhinah. It's like the Shekhinah gets an infection. She's sick. She didn't only fall, she got bruised in her fall. And now she's fallen ill. That's in the second world. And that's called, in the world of Yetzirah, Nikra Cholim. The Shekhinah is called Cholim. Al Shem Cholas Ava, because of, at that point, what kind of illness is there to the Shekhinah? Over there, she gets sick with her love. What does that mean? We'll soon see. What does it mean to be sick with love? When she is Bar Be'ez Hashem, as he will explain. Uba'asiyah, and when the energies of the Shekhinah come down into material world, into the final world, into the world of completion, our world, there, that element of the Shekhinah that has become subjected to the forces of darkness, that element is not just considered fall, that she has taken a fall. Not only is it an illness, but she's trapped and imprisoned. Her energies are imprisoned in the dark side. Nikra Sudim, it's called prisoners. Hitachlis Anafila, this is the epitome of the fall. Kisha Aser Bezikim, where she's bound with chains. So just like it is with the Shekhinah, here he talks more on the collective soul, but in the Mittler Rebbe's discourse, he applies this to three different types of souls, of how disconnected a soul can be and how lost the soul can become. And there are higher souls that fall, but even when they fall of their spiritual consciousness, but they're only falling. And then there are souls that are considered ill, they're ill, they've fallen sick. And then there are souls that are so trapped in the dark side and they can't release themselves. And we need God's miracle to get them out. Shairish Advarim, and the root of the matter is when you do it, is known. So we know there are really four worlds. We spoke of three. The fourth one is the world where everything is pure and everything is attached and everything is unified. And over there, there's no klipa. In the world of Atzilus, there's no dark side. There's no unholiness. Everything is holy. So in Atzilus, which is the world of emanation, the Shekhinah, when she stands in Atzilus, she's healthy, strong, attached, and bond up with the infinite light. And that's originally all of our souls. All of our souls as being part of the Shekhinah, the highest level of our neshama, we refer to it as tahora, she's pure. On that level, the soul is perfectly one with God. Then our consciousness descends through variations of descent till it comes down in a body. And that has a negative influence on the soul. It becomes less conscious of God, more conscious of self. It starts to feel evil inclination. It starts to descend in its consciousness till it comes down in a body and it can forget about God and live a total godless existence, which is really a life of death, which is very sad. Now, such concealment and such darkness can only be in the physical world. When a soul is hovering in the spiritual worlds, although it can be partially disconnected, but not to that degree. So in Atzilus, however, in the initial stage of where the neshama is, over there, the soul is not, it's before the fall. It's in a state of attachment. The Shoyrish Advarim, the root of the matter, and you do it as known, but Olam Atzilus Atzma, in the world of emanation itself, Ein Ra Klalu Klal. There's no evil there at all. Who, and that is Kasha Zun, when male and female, Zun is Zun stands for Zuchra, male, and Nun is Nukva, which means the six emotions of God, which are the male side of God, Malchut, the power of divine speech, which is called the Shekhinah, the feminine side of God, are attached to each other. There is a unification between the godliness that is meant to be part of creation and its source. It's in that state of consciousness of total attachment. So when the husband and the wife They are in a state of face-to-face. So what does face-to-face mean? They are in a state of bonding. They're equal in their height. Shavim become awesome. They're equal in their height. Because it says, Malchus the Shekhinah receives from her husband. Depending, and it's explained that Malchus is in a constant state of fluctuation. She's Olevi Yoreid. She arises and descends. Malchus is never, she's just like in our relationships, there are times when there is a full unity between a man and a woman. And then there are times when there is distance, even halachically. So there is fluctuations. So the Shekhinah is in a time when she's standing face to face with her husband. And that's, let's say, on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, the energies of the world are elevated and they stand face to face with God, which means she's plugging her intellect into Hashem's intelligence. She's plugging in her emotions into God's emotions. She's plugging, all of her elements are being directly plugged into the Ein Sof, and there's a perfect harmony between husband and wife. So for sure in that state, she's not fallen. There's no klipa, there's no unholiness, there's nothing there. She's safe and sound and in his embrace. Similar to the way we're all supposed to be on Shabbos. We're safe from the outside world. We're safe from the darkness. We don't have to deal with all the temptations and pitfalls and stuff that can hit us during the week because we're in the safe zone. We are in Atzilus, like we've been learning in the last classes, how Shabbos, everything is suctioned in and we're in a very godly state. Comes the week, we get thrown back into the world. We're thrown back into the rapids, into the roaring river, and we're being knocked from all sides. Oh, so that's the beginning, that's the descent. But in Atzilus, there's a unity. Vigam, and even here he says, Kashem Melubish Adachazal Bavad, but in Na'ara 7, he says that Tzemach Tzedek crossed out the word Melubish and he Malbish, and he just said, Vigam Kasher He. He changes the word malbish, and he puts the word, he changes it with the word he. Vegam kasher he adachaza bilvad. It's also when she, even if she's not standing full height equal to her husband, she's only reaching his chest, which represents that her intellect, the intellect of the Shekhinah, is plugging into his emotions, but not higher. She's not privy to the emotions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of her male counterpart, which is the Hashem, you know, the masculine side of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if she's not being able to plug into that, which means she's in a much lesser state, but she's still not susceptible to the klipot. She's still not giving energy to the klipot. There's no yenika sachitzonim. There's no deriving of energy to the dark side. Adayin ein ra'yonik b'meno klal. She's still not possible for her to give energy to the unholy, because she's very, very much attached to God's truth. However, when she has to leave the world of Atzilus, and she has to descend to enliven all the parts, similar to a soul being sent down to enliven a body. So when the Shekhinah comes down to enliven creation, so she has to go away from her infinite divine source and descend into the narrow channels of time and space and into the corridors of all the various different specifics of creation, then she becomes susceptible to enliven even dark and non-kosher stuff, even impure forces. As we know, that within creation exist some really, really, really ugly monsters. And they all receive life from the Shekhinah. So this is the meaning. So But when she contracts and contracts and contracts with many contractions, she needs to do that. God intentionally, or else there wouldn't be a creation. She needs to descend lower and lower and lower to give life and support to lower forms of life. She curls up to be one little point under the yesod. Yisod is the male, man, the last entity of the male. And she becomes only a point, which means she's not developed to be a full-fledged woman, so to speak, to receive all the light from him. She's just a point. She's always receiving from him, but she's receiving in a very undeveloped state. She's not developed in her godly persona. And then she becomes constricted. She needs to be that way, because if she would descend into the creation with all that godliness, there would be too much godly input into the world, and the worlds would be naturally holy and godly and godly conscious, and there would be no point of God deriving any pleasure from our struggles, because everything would be naturally illuminated with enormous divine light. So the Shekhinah must contract until she becomes very, 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 very poor, so to speak. Very poor. There's hardly any godliness shining in her. So then, yesh mekor, then there is becomes a source, v'shoresh, and a root, liyanikis hara denoga, that the forces of the klipa. Now we know klipa means shell. So those we learn in Chassidus are the three dark shells, which are really, really dark. And then there is a glowing shell called Klipas Noga. It's an intermediator between holiness and unholy. The Shekhinah doesn't directly impart energy to the three impure Klipas, but she directly influences Noga. She leaks her energy into Noga, which is this glowing shell, which is not really the bad guy, but he has communications with the bad guys. You know? So that's the point. She becomes a source, Lianika, the Noga of the Noga, the Biya of the three worlds. Because this Klipa, this shell entity called Klipas Noga, it is to be found in all three dimensions of existence. Obviously, in the higher worlds, his impurity is very, very subtle. He comes across as a very, 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 this entity called Klipas Noga comes across as a very, very pious being. But not so pious. It's hiding some. And then as it becomes lower and lower, it becomes more obvious that there is more ego and darkness over there. Until it becomes major corruption down here in this world. So as he says, like it says in the writings of the Ari, b'inyan tikkun chatzos. Regarding Tikkun Chatzos, where he explains these three levels of how the Shekhinah descends and she falls in this process. Like it says, Aru Ada Yesoid. Okay. Now behold, in the world of the lowest world, in the world of Asiya, Sheyoinkim Ayin Sarim Emidas Malchus, with the 70 ministering angels, which are the root of the 70 nations, derive their energy from the Shekhinah, because the seven over there, since this is already a source for the humans in this world, where there is a lot of corruption and a lot of unholiness, and even their spiritual sources, which are these angels above, the 70 angels, are corrupted angels. But they are taking energy from the Shekhinah. As we know, that every nation that the Jewish people are in exile, that nation is enclosing the Shekhinah, the spiritual source of that nation, is imprisoning the Shekhinah. It says by her, by the Shekhinah, Vani betoch ha-gola. I am in the midst of the exile. I think this is a verse from Yechezkel. Ezekiel is speaking, and he says, I had this prophecy while I was in the midst of the exile. That means usually prophecy only came to a prophet while he was in Israel. But here, Yechezkel is giving prophecy while Va'ani b'toch ha-gola, I'm amongst the exiled Jews. He was in Babylon. However, in Kabbalah, it says that when it says Va'ani b'toch ha-gola, this is much more than just the prophet. This is the Shekhinah is called Ani. And she says, I am, betoch hagola means I am in the exile. Shua nikra golos hashchinah, that's called the exile of the Shekhinah. Kamoy al derech mashal, and that's by way of analogy, Adam shenishba bein seinav, a person who became, was taken into captivity by his enemies. V'nitvas bahem, and he was been grabbed by them. Leishev asur bezikim, to sit bound up in chains. Kamoy ken al derech mashal, in the same way. When the divine influence, Nimsheches, is drawn La'ayin Sarim to the 70 ministering angels who take the divine blessings that they receive. Think about Iran, for instance, who takes its power that it has, the money, the oil, they have enormous amount of oil, resources, and use it to murder their citizens, to abuse, to be, you know, as we just know, they just murdered 42,000 people. And what are they using for that? What's their power? Where is it coming from? Or to build for 47 years, putting an enormous amount of resources and money to build a killing machine with its intent to murder and to kill and to what like they tried doing to Israel, and thank God Hashem protected us. So this, now where the energy comes from, the Shekhinah. Is the Shekhinah happy about this? She's a prisoner. That's what it is. She's imprisoned by the IRGC, by the Revolutionary Guard. Not the physical Revolutionary Guard, but the spiritual one in heaven. They're fed, their ideology is being fed by a lunatic Islamic angel in heaven, a radical who is supporting these ideas. These ideas don't start down here. They're being channeled by the forces above. And this is one form. And there's many other forms of godly blessing that is used in a manner of corruption. Oh, that's what we're going to see later. Why is there? Obviously, this is all hush. That's why he's going to wrap it up by saying, Melech, he is the king, Mamus, who makes things die, Umachaya, and he resurrects it. This is all part of the Mamus. God kills things in order to resurrect it. Part of the killing of it is that he causes powerful spiritual energies to collapse and to fall. He creates massive messes, because there will be a tremendous gain once it's all cleaned up. This is part of the divine scheme. Shehema, now these ministering angels governing and exiling the Shekhinah during the time of exile, Shehema betachlis agasus, they are at the epitome of coarseness, v'ashmarim, and they are the dregs. So the Shekhinah, that's enlivening such thick, dense, dark, corrupted clip of entities. She finds herself in exile, bal karcha, against her will. There's a certain helplessness to the divine. The Shekhinah is part of the divine. She is trapped and she cries. And she's in pain, and she suffers. Kisayne Hashem nikra, because they are called the enemies of God, and she is supporting the enemies of God. Like it says, Esav sanesi, like it says that Esav I hate. So you see that there is a hatred towards them, which means because they're really bad, and yet they're powerful. Edom has been powerful for the last 2,000 years. And even when God gives them and sustains them, he's not interested in giving them. So he throws it over his shoulder because he can't look at the face of his enemy. Like it says, when you have to give to someone you don't like, you don't give it to them face to face, looking in their eye. You like, here, take it, I don't want to see you. Like a lot of people felt when they pay their taxes. April 15th. It's like, I don't want to, but I have to do what I want to do. a command, the shada basak asva, yimshach. Yimshach lahem ha-shefa. The shefa goes there without, not from the pnimius, not from inner desire. V'zeu, and this is the meaning, va'ani, and I, shumidis machusa yizbarach, which is the attribute of kingship. Shebakoil mashallah, that she really rules over everything. She's the powerhouse that powers all of creation. V'nikra ani, and she's called I. And hu b'toich ha-goyla, she is in the midst of the gola. She's in the midst of exile. The ayin sarim of the 70 ministering angels, ba'oyla ma'asiya, in the world of asiya. In the lower world of Asiya is the lowest of all worlds. Because the 70 ministering angels, the real thick klipas, they only exist down here. In the higher realm, and when I say down here, we mean down here and the spiritual world, that's the source of down here. And this is considered like being actually locked in a prison. So much so that it says, Melech Aser Berahatim. It says a king who's tied with cords. Who's the king that's tied in cords? It's like a king who is taking hostage. The Shekhinah is tied and bound up in cords. The Zohar, and in the words of the Zohar, Dresha Shechivis La'afra, the head is laying in the dirt. The Shekhinah, that's the head of all of existence, her head, she has fallen all the way down into the dirt. Shu'afar denoga dasiya, which is the earth of the klipa of Noga, of the world of Asiya, that's called Afra, that's called the real dirt. As stated elsewhere. And when there's a special moment, like Shabbos, and the Shekhinah is able to leave that imprisonment that's literally being released from prison. And coming out of prison. And this is the meaning when it happens. Nikramatir asurim. He releases those that are the prisoners, those that are bound in prison. Kisheyut sviris the kedusha, when the 10 attributes of holiness, Sheba olam asiya, that is in the world of asiya, especially the 10 attributes of holiness that are part of the malchus. Malchus itself has 10 attributes. So in the 10 attributes of the world of Asiya, which is the 10 attributes of Malchus, Yoitzim Chafshi, when they go out to freedom, B'chol Shabbos, on every Shabbos, the Shekhinah rises. V'chodesh, and also Rosh Chodesh, that's why it's nice to learn it today. And every Rosh Chodesh, the Shekhinah exits this darkness. Shu'aliyah reshayna da Malchus. This is the first ascent of Malchus, leaving the dark world of the world of Asiya. Friday night, we say a special psalm as part of Kabbalah Shabbos. The one that goes right before the Chadodi. Mizmar LeDavid. We say, Havu Lashem B'nei Halim, Havu Lashem Kavod V'oz, Havu Lashem Kavod Shemo. Three times Havu. It says in those three Havus, the Shekhinah is rising. Havu Lashem B'nei Halim is rising out of the world of Asiya. Havu Lashem Kavod Va'oz is rising in the world, is the Shekhinah's exiting the klipas of the world of Yetzirah. Havu Lashem Kavod Shemai, the Shekhinah's exiting the klipas in the world of Bria. And she's exiting all the way up to be, and then she stands face to face with her husband in Atzilus. Shu'aliyah Rishayna de Malchus Ki'inyan Hayadiyah Begimel Abrachis. And these are also known in the three brachas, Begimel Abracha Shaloh Yasani Goy, which is over there we say the three brachas is the aliyah of the Shekhinah from these three entrapments. Ekamoik and Al Derech Zaliyah Shnia. It's also the second elevation. The Yotzfir is the Yetzira. What's the second elevation? Where the Shekhinah, where she is giving energy, but not in the world of Asiya, in the world of Yetzira, in the world of formation, which is a far more refined world. So even the klipas over there are not as dark and ugly. So over there, she's not called a prisoner. But on that level, she's called ill. Ach sham nikrachaylas ava. She's called sick with love. What does that mean? She's homesick. That's what it really means. It means homesick. It's when one wants to be close somewhere, but the thing that they want so much is so far from them, and they feel disconnected to the point that they become sick from it. So I remember, I'm really thinking about it because I was a camp rabbi for a while, and you had these girls who came to camp, and for the first few days, some of them got mamish sick. They just were so attached to their parents. They came to camp, they were literally like, and that kind of homesick is the Shekhinah is homesick. She really wants to be out of this trapment, but she can't. In the world of Yetzirah, it's not such a great descent. Like in the world of Asiyah, because there's such concealment. Even the world of Yetzirah, which it seems for us, it would be like, wow, we would be blown away by the godly light that's shining over. We've never even experienced anything remotely close to that. But compared to the real light, it's very, very obscure and very hidden. It's going to be the master of Lukus, the great contraction and concealment of the divine. She's distant and removed from the Orein Sof that she was once privy to in the world of Atzilus, in the world of emanation. To the point that Hashem is shining in the world of Yetzirah, but Hashem is shining in the world from Yetzirah from a very far place, from a distance. Well, the Yois Kane, and therefore, Hachuka Shalaliha Malchus, Ma'olam HaYetzirah, and therefore the longing of Malchus, of the Shekhinah, that she wants to rise from that world of Yetzirah, of the world of formation, who b'pchenas cholas av is in a manner of being called sick with love. Ka'adam, like a person, sheyechla levavai, that his heart becomes weak and ill, beheder tavase, when he cannot get what he desires, or he or she desires. Because he doesn't grasp it. There's something that he or she is so attached to, and it's been taken away from them, and they literally feel sick. So the same is going to show how it is in every neshama. When you have a soul who's not trapped in really dark stuff. The lower level is a soul that gets trapped in really impure things. That's the one in corresponding to being in the world of being a prisoner. Not trapped. But still, the soul cannot experience godliness when it chooses so. She's trying, she meditates in prayer and she's not connecting. It's like feeling like I want to connect, but I don't have it. So kashaloi tuchalahasik muhus orin soif. Now this is only for a soul that has a memory of connection. If you don't even have a memory of connection, you don't know what to long for. But if you have a memory of how beautiful something was when you were connected, and now you don't have it, it literally creates an illness. Kashaloi tuchalahasik muhus orin soif. When you cannot grasp the substance of the orin soif, you lad believe it creates in the heart. Cholas ava, being sick with love. Meshe'ine masig ma'uma, because you're not grasping anything. You want to grasp, but you don't grasp. Baderach mashal, and similar to another example. Ba'al ha'seichel bardas, person who's a very intelligent person, who generally, whenever they encounter anything, subject, they always need to understand something thoroughly. And suddenly they're brought to a place where there are classes being taught and they just have no clue what the teacher is teaching. So people that are not such intellectuals, okay, I'm gonna go play Pac-Man on my phone or whatever game. I don't care. But a person who's intellectual, who loves knowledge, and suddenly gets placed in front of a teacher and the teacher is just way too deep for them, they're not getting it. It literally causes them sickness. They can't handle it. They're in such pain for not being able to grasp when they really want to grasp. Just like a bal seichel, a bar das. When he doesn't grasp, his heart becomes sick. Yoiser more mimisha ainu bal seichel kol kach yidua. More than someone who's just generally not too smart. So they don't, it doesn't bother them so much. I understand that. I don't understand it. But someone who, gam kan, and same too over here. The very fact that you're homesick is a sign that you have a home. The real scary part is when you have a child who's been abandoned, that doesn't have any, who's running around in the first day in camp and has no one to be homesick for. That's the, who's really a compassionate situation? Who should you really have compassion for? The children that are crying and they want their mommies and their, no, they're healthy children. They have a longing for a home. They have who to long for. They have an attachment. Then there's a child who's been so abused and so disconnected and treated to whatever, and they're in a foster home, and they don't long for anybody. That's a sign that there's nothing in their heart. Yeah, that's okay. I'm not, because they like the camp. That's because it's a good experience. They have confidence. I'm not talking about that case. I'm talking about because there's something so good that's even more interesting than their love to their home. The house is a little boring, and here doesn't mean there's no relationship. It's just here, there's entertainment, and they're an adventurous kid. And okay, I understand that. But there's the kid who's not because they're so happy in camp. It's just because there's nothing there that they're attached to. That's the problem. So if you come, when you have a soul who's homesick for God, and the reason they're sick is because they're not attaining, they're trying, but they're not connecting. That itself is indicating that there is a, that the soul is not burnt out completely. He still has a love to God in his heart. And that's the reason why I'm feeling bitter when I'm not grasping the dilemma. So, and when we look at ourselves and we're feeling like hurt that Shabbos is here and we're not feeling Shabbos, that Yom Tov is here, we're not feeling Yom Tov, that prayer I'm trying to daven, then you're in a good space. But when it's not even bothering you, so when the divine love, the Yud Sefirot the Yetzira, the 10 Sefirot of the world of Yetzira, they are sick with love because they still they remember a deeper bond. They are richuk vanafilos because of the richuk, because of the distance and the fall. Hatsuma, on the great fall. Vareizakamashala ben, just like a child. Hayoshe bebeis asurim. A child, a prince that was taken into a prison. Ukeshe zoicher alavim, when he remembers his parent, his father, Yifke, he cries. When the child or when the person remembers, when they're in prison, remember their family. And they cry for their family. They feel the pain. They miss them, and they feel they want to go home. But when they forget completely, then he sits securely in prison. When a prisoner has no one, doesn't cry to go home, that's a very, very cold heart that has become so. You have started identifying with the prison, and that becomes your place. Don't even bother the fact that you're in prison, because you think this is the entire world. You become part of the prison community. This is your life. That is very, very painful and very pathetic. That's the difference between the world of Asiya and the world of Yetzirah. In the world of Asiya, the Shechina is in pain because she's trapped. But she's not longing because she forgot what it means to long. She's so darkened that she doesn't remember the love, the energy, the light of the world of Atzilus. But when she's in the world of Yetzira, that world, the level of the Shechina that's in Yetzira, is longing for the light. And the third elevation, the Malchus. Oh, so now we say, what do we say? That Hashem heals those that are sick. Which means Hashem, how do you heal? Healing, this the illness means that Hashem elevates this Shechina that's longing for godliness and gives her her longing. Gives her, not her longing, gives her the fulfillment for her longing. So she doesn't have to, she's healed from her illness. Like the parent in visiting day comes and visits the child. The child for at least the next while is not homesick. They feel they connect it. Liashlishis the Malchus and the third elevation of Malchus, Goinyan Saimech Noiflem, is the idea that he supports that those who fall. The Fishaba Oilam Abriya. Here we're talking about a much higher level. The world of Briya and the world of creation. Rubai Taiv, most of that world is good. It is a tiny little bit of klipa there. And this, that there is a little leakage going to the dark side. It's only a tiny drop. That's why the infinite Hashem does not dwell where there is evil, but there's very little bit of evil there. So the Orein Sof, the godly, the infinite can manifest and reveal itself in that world on a much greater degree. Kolkach. And therefore, she'ya'ava b'derech choyli, that the love should be considered being sick with love, that is not applicable in the world of Bria. Ela t'ya'ava b'b'chines kirov. The love is in a state of closeness, which means on that level you really feel Hashem. Ach l'pa'amim, however, why is it called falling? Tipo l'ava v'nikra noiflim. Since you're in a world that is still considered a world, it's still some level of time and space, some kind of definitions and constrictions exist in that world. It's possible for a soul that's inhabiting that world to lose sight of the Eberster's oneness, to get distracted by something, even in the world of Bria. That's when that soul falls. And even the Shechina also falls in that world, because there isn't such clarity. There is already distortion. Obviously, in the world of Atzilus, you can't fall. Because in the world of Atzilus, God is reality. There's not a possibility to step out of that. You can't step out of reality. In the world of Yibriya, God is the source of reality, but he's not reality. When God is the source of reality, okay, then there's a moment that I can forget the source. And I can experience what I think is real without this. Even though most of the time not, but I could fall, God forbid. But in the world of Atzilus, you can't fall. So, Haderech Mashal Avas HaBen La'aviv, just like the love of a child to a father, Shaloi Tishken B'tmidus, when the child is not gone off the camp, when the child is home, and parent and child always spend time together, they bond and it. And then sometimes the kid becomes playful and a toy becomes more important than the parent. For a moment. Oh, like a little baby sometimes. You know, the mother steps out, the mother goes away, and you leave the child with the grandma. And you know, the minute the child will realize mom's not here, the child will cry. So you distract the child with a toy. But the child will play with the toy for like 5 minutes and suddenly realize, hey, mom's not here, and forget about it, right? We see that. So what do you see? That when the child thought that the mother is close, they can stop focusing on the mom and get caught up with the little doll or the little car for a few minutes. The same can happen in the world of Bria. A soul can get excited about something that's not clearly Ein Sof, the Ein Sof. So that's called the falling. Ki yuchel l'shkoyach legamri, you can forget. Aval im kolzeh, for a moment you can forget. And when that moment, you completely, even in the world of Bria, can forget completely about Hashem. Aval imkozeh bezochrei, but the moment you remember, take of the cider. There's no like, oh, I want to experience and I can't experience. That happens in the world of Bria. Where's my mother? I want to connect. I can't. In the world of Yetzirah. In the world of Bria, there can be a distraction. But the moment you remember, Hashem is there. Take if the Seder, Kamashu Mamish Bilti Geroin Klal. you'll be able to restore it immediately, as if there never was lost anything. Which is the case of being sick with love. Shalaben, when the child, when he remembers his dad, when he's sitting in prison, and there's enough, the one that understands. So the three levels. The child that's in prison and has forgotten even that he's in prison. The child that's in prison but crying for the parent. And the child that's not in, that's close to the father, is not in prison, but can have a moment that they disconnect. And that's already called a fall. And Hashem helps those who fall. Now it's interesting, over here, as I mentioned, he's speaking mainly how this applies to the collective consciousness of the world. In Derech HaChaim, he talks, which is the book of the Mittel Rebbe on this, he really discusses this in three levels of neshamas, three types of souls, three types of forgetfulness, three types of disconnection. He even gives a very interesting example, which he says in the name of Reb Nachman of Kosov, one of the students of the Baal Shem Tov. He talks about a child, a person who's thrown into a dungeon and with his family, and they start, because they're there for such a long time, they have children in the dungeon, and they live in the dungeon, and there's generations and generations who live in the dungeon. But how are they sustained? Once a day, there's food being dropped through a hole in the sky, in the ceiling of this cave, this deep underground cave. And so a few generations forward, they don't even know that there's a world outside. And all they think is that this is like, yeah, this is nature. A couple of loaves of bread fall through the sky, fall through this, and this is that's all that exists. This is the reality. And one day, some new prisoner was thrown in. The great great grandson of the original pirates, so we call it the original squire who threw the family into it, decided that he remembered that he's got this thing, and he decided to throw one of his people there. And that guy comes in, and that guy's crying and crying without an end, that he wants to come out of there. And everybody says, where do you want to go? And this is like, where do you want to go? What do you mean, where do you want to go? This is life. They don't even understand like what he's talking about. He remembers that there was a big world out there. They don't even know about it, because they were not, that for them, this is the reality. This is the sad thing, that you have people who don't even realize there's a spiritual world. Or to them, just making money, and living an utterly secular life without any spiritual connection, that's life. The world of nature, nothing else exists besides nature. That's those that are being born generations in this dungeon without ever. And then there are the visitors that come down here. And remember, in general, that's what the Jewish people are supposed to be for the rest of the world. The neshamas that come down to say that there is a bigger reality outside of nature. There's a much greater truth. And there is that longing we want to go. That's the example he gives over there. And after that, humefarish, sibiz gimel yiridas alol. Now, what makes this happen? Who caused the Shekhinah to fall to begin with? Where did this, how did this, we're talking about the elevation now, from being small to be bigger. So now what's the real cause for these three falls? Hashem made this happen. We say, Micha Moicha Baal Gavuros, who is like you, the master of Gavura? Melech Memes Umachaya, the king who causes death and brings life. So he asks a very simple question. What's the order? Does a person first die, or is the person first born? First you have to live in order, God forbid, to die. You can't die before you live. So why does it use the term Melech Memes Umachaya? It should say Melech Mechaya, the king who gives life, or Memes, and brings death. Those that are alive die. And you want to say that will live again. So say, Melech Mechaya, Umemis, Umechaya again. You say Machaya Amesim, that we understand. The words Memes or Machaya, as God being the source of life and death, should have been the opposite. He's just, like I said, he's the source of life and death, not the source of death and life. You can't have death if you don't have life before that. But there's a deep secret over here. Yesh Lahavin, he asked first a question. How can you have death without living first? What does he say? He brings death. Where there's no life yet. You can't kill something that never lived. The idea is when it's saying over here the king that causes death and life, it's not talking about the physical human being down here. It's talking about that too, but it has a much deeper meaning as well. When Hashem creates the world, he first kills things before he uses. Before Hashem can bring life, he first has to destroy. Hashem brings about creation through enormous contraction on his infinite light. But even contraction would not create such a world that is so separated from him, which is what he desires. He desires a world that is initially separated, and he wants the creation to discover its union with God. He wants the creation to reattach itself to Hashem. But he wants it initially to be disconnected. In order for the creation to be disconnected, what Hashem did is he shattered the vessels. He caused a breaking, and that breaking is called death. Then after he shattered those vessels, he was now able to enliven the world with sparks from that broken, shattered world and from a new set of channels of pipes, which is much, much narrower and much more diminished than the original pipelines. So he busted those original pipes so that he creates much smaller pipes. The large, huge pipes, he busted them. Then he creates noise. So his enlivening of the world comes after he first killed it. And that's the order. Melech Memes, he first broke the world of Tohu, Umechaya, and he enlivens through the world of Tikkun. And why does he do that? And the stages of that is, part of that shattering of the vessels is to cause the Shekhinah to be nofel, to fall, to cause her to be cholas, to be ill, and further fall until she's trapped, so that really dark things are created and sustained, and there's a serious battle between good and evil, and in the end, good triumphs over evil, and evil disappears, and all of creation reunifies with God, and the ultimate pleasure reveals itself, and laughter and delight and song and utopia exists forever and ever, precisely because of the darkness and the concealment. So this is what the bracha is all about. The bracha is all about the whole plan of how God orchestrates a world that should shatter and break so that it can come into reconnection, so that he can heal the sick, that he can support those who fall, heal the sick, and release all prisoners, and bring everything back into harmony, into health, and into an elevated state. But when we come back after all these falls, it's much greater than had we never have fallen. And that's the story. The Yadua is known, the Raimez, it's known al in Yashvira Sakelim. This is indicating the idea of the shattering of the vessels. The Yadua is known, Shenikra Misa, that's called death. Al Shem Nefilim Adargi, because the Zohar says everything that falls from its level is called death. As it says in Zohar, and it says in Eitz Chaim. As it says, he reigned and he died. And it's referring to the fallen kings that have fallen. These kings are these powerful sephirot of the world of Tohu. And without the death of these seven kings, which are powerful cosmic forces that collapsed, we would never have the influence of life, which is called mechaya, enlivening from the world of tikkun. The channels of life would not even be in existence if he wouldn't have first destroyed the initial channels. Which come after, because the world of Tikkun comes after the world of Tohu. And this is the meaning that he causes death. And afterwards he enlivens. And the explanation of the matter is the Yiduit is known. The Yoisir is known. Kizayin Malchun de Tohu, the seven kings of Tohu. They were in a super high level. What does that mean? The original Sephirot of the world of chaos, where the energy that flowed into them was really intense, powerful energy. They were very close to the infinite light. And a finite world could never have been created from them. It would never have mista'afim. Mista'afim means it would never have evolved from them. All these limited hamshachos, all these limited influences, which is what it takes to create a finite world. Which is ha'oyrois, the lights, v'kelim, mekelim, shainim, and all the various vessels, which make up the infrastructure of all the worlds, including, but even the world of Atzilus is considered a miniature world compared to the world of Tohu. Sheba Olam Atzilus, which is the world. Because why? In the world of Atzilus, the lights go into vessels and the lights are defined. Chachma is Chachma. Chesed is Chesed. Wisdom is wisdom. There is definitions. And in the world of Tohu, there were no definitions. The Chesed wasn't Chesed. The Gevurah wasn't. Everything was like melting into the Ein Sof. Everything was very, even though we call it Sefirot and Chesed, they were so subtle. K'may Chachma v'Chesed, there wouldn't be any wisdom, there wouldn't be any kindness, k'dayma, only after the shattering of the vessels, v'kasha nishbiru ha'kelim b'pchenes pirur ha'shefa, and when the shattering of the vessels broke, and it caused the shefa, the influence, to become, go into crumbs, it's those crumbs that become the underlying infrastructure of the world of Tikkun. K'may Shekasim ha'kamachar stated elsewhere, as nimshach b'tzimtzumim, then it was only able to, through powerful tzimtzum and contractions, b'miyot ha'or, diminishing the light, v'ribu ya'kelem, and increasing the vessels, achayuchel l'savis metzias ha'chachma ba'olam ha'briya, so that the existence of wisdom can be created in the world of Briya, u'kadayma and the like, and so on and so forth. Nimtza comes out, b'chines misas ha'zayin malachim sh'lifnei malach melech l'bnei Yisrael, comes out to the death of these seven ancient kings, which are the root of the kings of Edom, which means which later, a billion levels later, or gazillion level later, translate into all the corrupt kingdoms that are here in this world. They're all rooted in these powerful collapsed energies. That's why they're arrogant, and that's why they're whatever, and that's why they're so, right? It's because they come from that very intense lights, but messed up. But that energy is far more intense and above, especially before it fell. It's infinitely higher than the life flow that becomes containable in the various vessels in the three worlds of Bria, Yetzir, and Asiya, which has very structured lights. Lights and vessels that are compatible with each other. That you didn't have in these infinite powerful energies in the world of Tohu. Why did God shatter those intense lights? Because God wanted that from those small crumbs, he should create the entire cosmic world. So really, that was an act, he's going to say in a minute, of intense gevura. The shattering of that was like, boom! It was an enormous act of gevura, especially because as a result of that comes enormous amount of powerful contractions, but that itself is being driven by an enormous kindness. It's a will to create and to give life to beings that are beings, that are solidified beings. And you can't be a solidified being and not dissolve in God if God is not hiding enough. So God has to hide enough. In order for him to hide enough, it has to go through this process of shattering vessels and many contractions that come thereafter. Kadeshi Nivra Mekablim, so there should be creations that can receive his light. The Zao, and this is the meaning, now we'll have a deeper meaning in one of the things we say. We say, Kilo Olam Chasto, that Hashem's kindness is forever, and there are 26 phrases in this psalm, in Tehillim, which we say Shabbos morning as well, and we sing it by the Seder, where we say, in each phrase we say, Kilo Olam Chasto, Kilo Olam Chasto. It's Psalm 136, Kuf Lamed Vav. One of the beautiful psalms. One of those phrases is Lamake Malachim Gedolim, that God smites great kings. So we're always thinking, and because his kindness is great. Yeah, he took down Pharaoh. He punished Nebuchadnezzar. He destroyed, you know, Sancheriv, all these powerful kings, wicked kings. Now we're finding out a whole different meaning. Lamake Melachim Gedolim means Hashem broke the vessels of the world of Tohu. They're called the great kings. The really great kings. The divine attributes. Those ancient kings, Hashem shattered them. Ki liolam chasto, because his kindness is forever. Because he wanted to bring down his light down to a finite, limited world. So he had to shatter those super infinite constructs. He knocks down because of his kindness. And this is the meaning when it says memes. He first dies them before he can. Because chaya, mechaya means he's enlivening. That's the world of tikkun. He first has to kill the world of tohu in order to bring in the world of tikkun. From the world of tikkun, the olam atzilus, of the world of atzilus. Even though this is an expression of kila olam chasto, because his kindness is forever, im kol zeh, nevertheless, these great contractions that happened as part of the shattering, these are his powers of might. In other words, this is gevura shebechesed. You realize. The motivation is kindness, but the act itself is an act of gevura, both in shattering and also in contracting. So it's an act of gevura, it's an act of restraint. That Hashem is able to contract himself so much. And we know that's called strength, because as the sages say, we say it in Pirkei Avos, Ezehu Gibor, who's called a strong person, not someone who can knock someone out. A strong person is someone who has self-control. Person who can restrain themselves. Someone who can subdue their inclination. So when God subdues his infinite power and restrains it, that's called Gevura. Kovish. Ezo Gibra Kovish Kocho. Someone who restrains his power. Who is like you? The master of Gevura. This is the highest level of Gevura. Gevura as it is in Keser. The root of all gevura and all tzimtzumim and all contractions. See, there's a lot more contractions that happen later, downstream. For example, the lights of Atzilus, when they have to go down in the world of Bria, contract. And the lights of the world of Bria, when they have to go down to the world of Asiya, of Yetzira, contract. And the lights of Yetzirah, when they have to go down to the world of Asiya, also contract. But these contractions are not called Baal Gevuros. They are much weaker contractions. The real super contraction happens all the way up in the Ein Sof, above it all. So those contractions, Em Tzimtzum Mamish, are a real Tzimtzum. Acha Makara Miti, but the true source. Sheyachali is Metzias Hashvira. That there should be able to be the existence of a shattering. Hu anikra baal gevuros, that's called the master of the gevura. stated elsewhere. Al inyan baitsina de kadrinusa. That's called the dark lamp that we learned about many times. It's in Keser itself, the source of all gevura in Keser is called the dark lamp. But what's the purpose of all of this? This is all that Hashem contracts and he breaks. And in that breakage comes out three levels of the Shekhinah falling. For what purpose? The purpose is to sprout forth a salvation. All this falling and descending and breaking and shattering and energies falling into the and enlivening all the dark stuff and all of that. It's because God wants an enormous yield from a crop. And just like when a person wants to increase their wealth, they want to increase their sustenance. What do? They take very good food, good grains, good kernels. You can make from them wonderful, good challahs. And they waste it. They take it out into the field, throw it in the ground, and cause it to decay and rot. But because it's going to grow back, and when it's going to grow back, it's going to grow back a millionfold. Not all a million, but a lot more. So too, this entire spiel that Hashem does is to increase the light a gazillion times more. And that's why it says, Melech Meimis Umechaya Umatzmiach, he makes sprout forth Yeshua, the great salvation. All an introduction for Mashiach and for Tchias HaMes. Thank God we are at that, where we show up at that point of history, not in the decaying part of history. We are at those that are going to witness the great sprouting forth of the great salvation. Matzmiach Yeshua Pidish, she explains. Baal of Farish, she's coming to explain. Ikara Tam Shalom Matzil. The main reason of the emanator, b'mashakov ashkocho, why did he restrain his power? The tzimtzum atzmo and contract himself, liyoy sashvira, to bring about a shattering, v'hatikun and the rectification, achakach, from much, much narrower, smaller lights, hu b'shvil, because this is all a scheme, for what purpose, shetitzmach ha-yeshua, that the great Yeshua, the great salvation should grow forth. What does that mean? Achakach, afterwards, b'taysef as bracha within added light, meruba ala ikar, much more than the primary. Meaning, much more than, like every investment. You're investing money in a company, in a stock. You want your yield, you want what you're taking out to be way more than what you put in. Your return on your money. And over here too, you're taking your seeds, you're throwing it out, you don't put it in there that you're going to get the same amount of seeds back. You put it in there so you can plant and receive way above or sow in it. It's like a person sowing a seed in the ground. It will rot away completely. It will become nothing. And what is that? What's the purpose? That it causes Maya Nukvin. This is called feminine waters. You're sending a message to the power of growth, power of vegetation that's in the earth. And you're eliciting an enormous response. You want the earth, you want Mother Earth to pay attention to you. How do you get it to pay attention? You have to knock on her door. How do you knock on the door? You throw her a seed. She eats the seed up, and then she hears you, and she responds to you. And she says, you want apples? Here's apples. You want cherries? There's cherries. You want tomatoes? Here's tomatoes. You have to send her something and it returns. But in order to send her something, you have to cause it to decay. So Hashem does the same thing. After it rots, it will increase. The titzmach, and it will grow. But a sefes bracha with an enormous increase. Like the great blessing that happens when Isaac planted, it says he planted, and it grew 100 times more than what they estimated. With 100 times the estimation. And even though, for the time being, there is a waste, you destroyed that one kernel or that one piece of wheat You destroyed it. It was edible, and now it was destroyed. But then, for every one you put in, you get 100 back. You get kuf chitin machmasa. Hashem says, invest with me much better than anybody else. Who gives you 100 times to an investment? Which bank or which investment firm is promising you 100 times return on your money? No one. And God says, here, throw a seed in the ground, I give you 100 back. Unbelievable. So this will understand the reason for God planting into the darkness. Hashem shatters by shattering after shattering. Actually, he's crumbing it down to tiny little crumbs. Until not only does it become small, tiny, little, until it leaks into the dark side. And it becomes the most inexplainable entities that God seems to be creating, all this really, really ugly stuff. What's the point of it? Evil itself. To the point that Hashem sustains and drives energy into the really thick, dense klipot, shells of the world of Asiya, of the world of the lower world. Shakozo kamashal azareya. All of this is like the analogy of someone planting, like it says, oir zariya latzadik. A light is planted latzadik for the righteous. Hi, I'm in the 18,000 worlds, just relating to this planting. And when you plant a seed, what happens? Whatever is not so good in the seed decays. And even outside of it, for sure. The gamma premius and the inside of it, also, not only is there a decay in the bad stuff, but even the what's edible in the seed also decays. Until there's nothing left, but it's not nothing. It decays and goes back. So when Hashem sends our souls down into this world, we also rot down here. We also become so distracted in physical material life. But we have moments of tshuva, we have moments of mitzvahs, we have moments of such, and that causes a yield a billion times more than when the soul is in heaven. Until from the seed, he says, when you plant the seed, there's nothing left but the spiritual element of the seed because the physicality has been completely destroyed. Va'az, and then yitzmach mamata lamaylo, the seed will grow, will sprout forth from the bottom up. B'toisviz bracha, with an added blessing, b'meya sha'aram 100 times. V'u'inyin abirudim reish peches. And this is the refinement of the 288 sparks. She'em b'b'chines or chayza, this is the returning light. Melmata lamayla, from the bottom up. Acha nigdalu kol apratzufim datzilus. And what this causes, all the configurations of the world of atzilus, of the world of emanation, which were very great to begin with, they expand and receive enormous amount more input and light, a gazillion times more than they were, from these sparks that we elevate up. So it causes enormous expansion in all worlds. So we're watching right now how all the material things in our world that used to be sitting useless and so limited, we're watching all the physical things in this world pop up and have so much potential. A piece of metal can hold infinite information. It becomes a chip and it becomes so the world you see is literally getting a capacity that it never had before. This is only a tiny reflection of what's happening in the spirit, in the supernal realms of Atzilus. An enormous expansion is happening in all of existence. This is the result of all the sparks that we've elevated. But in order to be able to elevate them, you have to first break them, and then it can be elevated. With an additional radiance of light, because of the raising of the feminine waters, shalabirudim, from all the sparks that we've elevated, kiyidua, which comes from the noflim, from the cholim, and from the asurim, that's what produces all these sparks. V'zeo matzmiach Yeshua, he makes it sprout forth salvation. Hatzmicha, the growth shalabirudim of these sparks, she'achrei ha'tikun, that's after the tikun. Ulezoisa yikar ha'machave mashvir. This was the main intention in the shattering. Shleimus ha'tzmicha, and the ultimate growth, yeh la'asid lavei, was going to be in the future. Kishanigla kvayd Hashem, when Hashem will be revealed in this physical world, momentarily, maybe even tonight. V'zehu ha'hemshech ha'dvarim. And this is why we continue and we say, Mikamocha, who is like you? Baal Gevuros, who is like you? After we say how he shattered, how he helps those who fall, but then we say, who is like you? Baal Gevuros, who has such a restraining power to do what? To do what? Me doima lachuk kapir to you. Melech Namis, you are able to kill all that. Umachayan to enliven it. For what purpose? For Matzmiach Yeshua to be able to bring the ultimate salvation. Lahamis Bishvira, to be able to bring a death through the shattering of the vessels. Ulahach Yoiz Betikun. And in order to enliven through the Tikun, through the world of Tikun, Kedei Latzmiach Yeshua, in order to be able to make sprout forth the salvation, Mamata Lamaila from the bottom up. Betoisvis Meruba Leikar Azriah. With a prophet that is much more than what was planted. And therefore, and notwithstanding this entire scheme, which is gavald, which is awesome, we still say, who compared to you? Why? What do you mean, who compared to you? Because this entire scheme is not you. God remains above the entire spiel of the whole fall. All the falling and the breaking and the fixing happens in the nether part of his light. But he himself is not affected by any of this. And that's what we're saying, that notwithstanding the awesomeness of this whole thing, it's still me, Domelach, who can compare to you. You are untouched and unchanged. And yet, you produce in the external element of your light these powerful revelations of Tohu, and then the shattering of that, and then the tikkun and all. It's good to know that there's a piece of God that's above the whole game. It's always it's good for the backup plan. That there is a stable source that doesn't budge in all of this. I guess that's why we say it. Like we say, the Ein Doy Malach, there's no comparison to Yuma Shienu. Our Savior, L'Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead. Piddish, what does that mean? Gamay Teisefes Bracha, even the added light. Miberudim Deresh Peches, from all that we've elevated from the 288 sparks, Ein Aroich Klal, you can't compare that. L'Gaba Atzmi Yusay is Barach Mamish, to God's very essence. The Chol Inyan Atam B'Shvira V'Tikun, because the whole reason of the shattering and the fixing, Hu HaKol, is all taking place b'chinas tachtoina shebematzel, in the lower element of the emanator, in Keser, which is the lower element of the emanator, but not in the higher element of the emanator. That's that dimension remains safe and sound and above it all. Belvad ki yidua, all the noise of the shattering and the fixing and the rectification is not disturbing that level. Ki yidua, as it is known, the daila maven. And it's enough to those who understand. Okay, that's the mimer.
It was pretty short, but very special, this quiz. You will never say Ato Gibor the same.